little shunk.
That experimenting with wood can bring some exciting nuances to the flavor profile of.
Welcome once again to Chill Filter, the podcast where we drink whiskey so you don't have to, but you probably should, and you probably are, and that's why we like you. Thanks for coming back, guys. Thanks. If you're not coming back, thanks for joining us for our 301st episode. A new season, a new 100, a new time of fun.
If you're joining today, you need to rewind one and go watch 300, because dang.
Episode 300. It was amazing. And huge shout out to Nick Taylor and Found North as a company. We love them. And not just because their whiskey is good, their people are good too. So we appreciate you guys. Let's talk about some business real quick before we get into anything. Hit us up on YouTube and subscribe. If you're watching us on YouTube right now, just consider how much pressing that subscribe button would mean to a small podcast like ours. Become a bigger podcast and maybe you can unsubscribe then. But don't everyone unsubscribe at once. But just help us out. That really actually makes a huge difference. So if you're not subscribed, please do that for us. Smash that subscribe button. No, just press it lightly. And that's the business for the week. Otherwise, let's talk about how you doing. So how you doing, Brian?
I'm doing good. Easter actually was pretty fun. We went down to Tucson for the day, had brunch with Sam's 99-year-old grandma. Good for her. She's trucking. She hasn't aged in a decade.
Really?
Where's she from?
I know Sam's from like a little bit everywhere, but also like Pacific Islands. But where's her grandma from?
I think she grew up in California. I think young adulthood in California maybe, but yeah, the whole Pacific Island thing with Sam, that was just because so that was on Kwajalein. Dad worked for a company who had a contract at a facility on Kwajalein somewhere right around there. And anyway, so they lived out there for 8 years or so, but and before that, you know, they lived in California too. And then when they came from Quatch, they went to Tucson, and that's the whole story. But anyway, we went down for brunch on Sunday for Easter. And that was
99.
Yeah. 99. Yeah.
That's a lot of years.
I know.
Do you know? Okay. So I'm an actuary. I'm going to cut you off real quick. I'm not a life insurance actuary, nor do I work on the Society of Actuaries side. I work on the property and casualty side of the actuaries, which is mostly like car, home, and other company or like commercial types insurance. But check this out. I was looking at life tables the other day, which are on the life insurance side, which basically life tables will tell you a lot about when people die. And if you make it to like 93, 94 years old, your chances of surviving the next year are like 60% every year. Like, wow, you made it the next year. There's a 60% chance you die in the next year. And then it goes lower, but like right around 95 is like you have about 0.4 chance of dying that year.
Dang.
Yeah.
So those last 5 years, that was five coin flips.
She's killing it. Flips with like a you know, close to half. I mean, I'm sure when she gets to like 98, it's less than half chance of surviving. So she's killing it.
Yeah.
Hate for her to listen right now, but that's a good thing. I give her props that she has made it this far and is killing it every year.
Totally. So another thing that I did this weekend, though, I don't think we've talked about this. Oh, yeah, we've talked about mead. I sent you some mead around Christmas.
Don't tell me. Superstition Meadery.
Superstition Meadery, that's right. So I do the whole guild thing. I'm a guild member at Superstition. Ooh. And so I pay an annual fee, and there's an annual party. And at the annual party, they give out the cases. Guild members get 12 bottles, a full case of mead. So it's two bottles of
free or included in membership or like...
That's nice. Included in membership. It's like purpose of membership. The whole point of the membership is... invites to fun parties, get a whole case, 12 bottles, and 20% off throughout the year at the restaurant and the shop and everything. So
said that's like anyway. A Prescott or something like that.
Yeah, it started in Prescott, but now there's a shop in downtown Phoenix now.
Nice.
So don't have to go too far to get there. Yeah. But I got to sample a whole bunch of meads. Took a buddy, Patrick. He accompanied me since Sam is currently pregnant.
She can't drink.
Yep. So anyway.
Without harming the child.
Patrick got to sample all the meads and everything with me. So nice. That was a lot of fun. I got to try all six so that I don't have to open them just to find out what they taste like. Because they're like guild exclusive ones. You can't get them otherwise. So the only way to try them first was to try them at the party. And they had a whole bunch of other stuff there too and everything. So it was good.
The one you got me was fantastic.
What was the flavor? So what did I send you? I don't remember.
Something berry. I want to say like blackberry or something like that.
Nice.
It was good.
I think I remember I was worried about sending you one that was too sweet, too syrupy, desserty sweet.
Bend it.
I was worried. So I think I sent you kind of like a thinner one, easier, more.
That was great.
Anyway, but so the next one you're going to get then is full on dessert syrup.
Did you pick up your 12 bottles or whatever?
Yeah, I did pick up my 12 bottles.
So bring one to Texas.
Hey, oh, I could do that, actually.
Yeah, I'll just drive it back. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. No, that'd be
cool. What about you?
And yeah. So yeah, no, I'm good. I'm looking forward to a road trip this weekend. A little worried, but like I've committed at this point. I'm like, if there's clouds over the solar eclipse, that sucks. But I'm still going. And I thought about it with Heather yesterday. I was like, it's like the biggest reason I was like, you know, like, because like the solar eclipse is only going to happen when I'm in my 50s. I've never seen a full eclipse in my whole life.
Yeah.
Or like a total solar eclipse. And I'm such like a space geek and, I'm into celestial bodies. Yeah, I could be a celestial body. I'm still going. Now. We're going to have fun. Believe it or not, I have, this. I've lived in San Antonio for a little bit. So I have friends out there that I'm like already set up. So you arrive midday Sunday, right? Or something like that?
Yeah.
So I already like am staying with a friend Saturday night. And nice. Getting breakfast with a friend or a few friends Sunday morning. And then I'm visiting the church that I used to go to out there. And then I'm going straight to my, friend's place, Mike's place. But yeah,
we've mentioned Mike. Mentioned Mike.
Yeah. But on my way back, I'm going to hit up a friend in Atlanta.
Nice.
I'm not like bragging that I have friends, but I'm looking forward to this whole trip. It should be fun.
Yeah, there are many things for you to do.
Yeah.
Even if the solar eclipse gets clouded out.
We'll set
off
fireworks or something. We'll make our own eclipse.
I got the weather here. Yeah, it does still say mostly cloudy for Saturday and Sunday leading into PM thunderstorms on Monday. So it's just clouds.
But you saw the totality path and then you saw the cloud coverage in Texas.
The national
cloud coverage. And it's like up to Missouri, there's this cloud that's shaped in the shape of the totality path. It sucks. Like, but,
literally, half of the United States will be covered in clouds for the totality.
Well, not even that. Like, it's especially in that bottom half of the totality path. It's just chance. And I was like, we could probably drive a few hours and just make it worth it. But even that, we would lose totality.
Yeah.
And then we'd, drive 2 hours to like get a not full eclipse. So I'm like, here's what I'm going to do. I'm a man of faith. I'm going to pray to God that we still get something really cool.
Yeah. So something will eke through there right in the middle of the day there.
Yeah.
But absolutely not worth driving out of the totality path.
Yeah. 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 It wouldn't be worth it. Yeah.
Even at 99% coverage, it still basically feels like daytime. Like it's not like it gets dim or anything, even at 99%.
So did you see the last one in 2017?
I did.
Where were you?
So Sam and I flew into Kansas City and
I hear that was good.
Saw some friends there. And then we just had to drive an hour or maybe two tops east.
I figured it was like in Missouri. Yeah.
Yeah, so we drove to the middle of nowhere, Missouri. Like, we literally stopped at a rest stop and just pulled That's off, great. Parked, and went out into a giant grassy field and just, like, set up lawn chairs and hung out there. It was perfect. And it was and cloudy.
Did people join you? Were there, like, a lot of people there?
They're, like, looking around right in the area, there were probably at least 100 people, but it was huge. Spread out. I mean, it was like 100 people on a football stadium kind of density.
Yeah, that's cool.
But anyway, it was cloudy, and like the clouds, there was kind of like gaps between the clouds to be cloudy, and then it was, and then like right before totality happened, this gap opened up.
So
and
cool.
Then the totality happened, we got to experience that, and then like right when the totality was over, then the next cloud came. It was just perfect.
That's like my one of my best friends, he got married. I was best man at his wedding. And like I said, I'm a man of faith. It was supposed to rain the whole wedding. And I was like, Lord God, like, let it not happen. And then we looked at the we looked later. So there was no rain at the wedding. It was amazing. We looked at the historical map.
Yeah.
To see like, hey, like, did the rain just, you know, dissipate, or like the clouds dissipate? No, we saw a hole in a cloud that was a long hole, and it just went right over the wedding area. Wow. And I was like, I am a man of faith. So it can happen. It can totally happen that we just get this storm, and then all of a sudden, like, boom, like we get this awesome view, and it's all worth it, and I don't regret it. No, I'm kidding. I'm looking forward to just, and it'll be good to hang, and like, I have all these samples I just need to get rid of, and we'll just have a fun time. And
I'm excited just bring a whole bunch of samples and leave them all with Mike.
Yeah, exactly. That's my goal. Let's just hand them off.
So what are you entry buzzing?
I counted the sample bin, like the half drinketed stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like 80 something bottles. And maybe I'll just bring the whole thing. Maybe I won't, but I got Wilderness Trail Rye 100 proof straight rye or small batch. But it is a straight rye. I can assure you of that.
Because
they don't do anything less than 4 years, and they don't adulterate it with anything crazy. But I don't know why they wouldn't call it straight. It is straight. There's a straight. It's totally straight.
Nice.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But, I was waiting for the joke. Yeah. I am drinking a single barrel selection from Found North.
Who single barrel did it?
This is from the Reddit group, our bourbon.
Nice.
So, and it's got Take's name on it, T8K. So this is the Take 01. I think his name for this was Smokeless. There's the interesting thing about this one is there's a small portion of X Speyside casks.
Okay.
There's definitely some X Scotch casks in this one. And that was kind of like the differentiator to make this one be like, this one's a little funky. So, and I did get two. He released two at the same time. And I thought that this one, the Scotchy one, was a little better than the other one.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You know what we got to do? Speaking of Smokeless, we got to do a Del Bach pick one day and invite the crew.
Oh yeah,
to Tucson
when the chill filtered meetup is in Phoenix.
Yeah,
whenever that is.
Yo, that's what's gonna happen.
Totally.
Yo, it all comes together. Phoenix is the place. Alive in Tucson. Anything else you want to say before we go over the history and anything like that?
No, I'm good. I'm ready to get into this. We didn't even
we haven't even said we were drinking. We're drinking New Lou Straight Rye, an R bourbon pick from Reddit. Was this a take pick?
He's the guy. Cool. So he did this. Yeah, that's for sure. Sweet.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Is he like the only mod guy there?
Well, there's a couple moderators. I would know because I messaged them all recently when I was making posts about Found North. But
that's cool.
Yeah,
he's probably the main guy.
I guess I don't know 100% sure. But
I were the main guy, I'd be doing picks left and right.
Well, he is certainly doing picks left and right. I mean, every week he's got like an average of two. Yeah.
What? I had no idea it was that much. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. You need it's as easy as signing up for a mailing list so that That's you cool. get these emails every Friday or Sunday. Well, I can't remember when he sends them out, but weekly emails of like, here's what this week's picks are. And That's you know, cool. you don't have to buy them. There's no obligation or anything.
The Life of Lux guy.
You know, that I have not seen, like I signed up for the list, but
oh, I'm sure he'll, it's not weekly, I imagine, for that guy, but I'm sure
I don't know how many picks. A year they do, but yeah.
We should do a Brooke Hill pick. No, I'm just getting ahead of myself. We're not that big yet.
That'd be awesome.
But we should do a Brooke Hill pick. That'd be killer.
Yeah.
Let's go to break. We'll come back. We'll talk Nulu, straight rye, and the background behind Prohibition Craft Spirits. But before we do that, let's go for a quick walk. All right, we're back. Quick shout out to Nick Taylor. We had a great time with him last week from Foul North. What a blast. And I see they still haven't, so far, as of recording this, they haven't formally announced the release 2 of the High Altitude series. So we're going to keep it quiet. But I hope you enjoyed last week. We had a great time. This week, we're drinking Nulu Single Barrel Rye, specifically an R Bourbon pick from Reddit. So this is crazy. We've done Nulu before, but we've never done a formal episode on it. We've only done 2 drink-alongs with it. And actually, both of them were ADHD whiskey picks, which were amazing. Nice. They're both amazing.
Oh, yeah.
But we've never done a full episode. We've never gone over like the history of Nulu and Prohibition Craft Spirits. So thank you to Ben Klepsig for recommending we do an episode on this. Cheers, Ben. Wait. Not only cheers. Oh, that was terrible. There we go. Much better. Let me try it on this glass. Yeah, there we go. Ooh, Ben Klepsig. So what a baller. All right. Prohibition Craft Spirits, also known as PCS, you know, for short, is a craft whiskey company and distillery out of Louisville, Kentucky. Founded by a guy named Keith Hazelbaker in 2016. Before he started the distillery, he was a certified financial planner.
Nice.
Apparently the story is that 2 amateur distillers came to him and wanted to start a whiskey company, and he was like, yeah, I'll work with you guys. You guys seem a little over your head. I'll work with you guys. But within a year, Keith actually just bought out the whole company and moved forward with it. I don't know about without them or not, but it was kind of funny how they wrote it on their website. He's just like, nah, I'm just taking over. And it became a family endeavor when he brought his son Carson on board. And then soon after that, he hired his other son, Chase Hazelbaker. Earlier on, they were making vodka, gin, rum, bourbon, and moonshine. But the bourbon was the stuff they let age as they sold older stuff. But when things really took a turn was when they started sourcing. And doing very special finishes. So yes, they actually, so it's funny, most people source first and then make their own stuff, but they made their own stuff and they're like, we got to let this age long. So we're actually going to start sourcing, which I thought was pretty cool. In 2020, they released Nulu. So I didn't realize it was this young as a brand. Nulu started in 2020.
Wow. Yeah.
As a single barrel bourbon, Nulu as a brand began to take off. They're known for special finished ryes and bourbons. And both of us, Brian and myself, have a big love for their, especially their ryes. Their single barrel ryes.
I'm actually exclusively Nulu rye. Nulu bourbons, I don't really buy. Personal choice, but Nulu ryes.
Do you remember what you thought of ADHD's apple brandy finished one?
Oh, the apple brandy? Yeah. I don't, but like at the same time, I know that I've never had a Nulu rye that I didn't like. So like, I'm sure it was great.
Wait till you have that one I'm about to send you.
Nice.
I've only tried it once. Maybe it just needed to breathe a little longer. And it wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. It wasn't bad, but it was grassy. Probably the grassiest whiskey I've ever had.
That's the grassy one. Yeah, yeah. I have at least 6 different different.
And they're all good. Finishes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, sherry apple brandy. I have one. Oh my gosh. It's so ridiculous. It is double oaked and then PX sherry finish.
Yeah. And like, they don't overdo it. So as far as I've had, they don't like over finish. They're not like Sherry Bomb Central where it's just like everything just tastes like raisins. No, they do a good job over at Prohibition Craft Spirits. So anyway, in their core lineup of bourbon, they have their Nulu Reserve, their Nulu Toasted Small Batch, and the Nulu French Oak. You can kind of put together what those are about. Outside of that, they do a lot of single barrel options. They have standard bourbons, just like their Nulu bourbon, basically toasted barrel bourbons, double oak, and that's a single barrel for the record. That toasted barrel single barrels, double oak single barrels, double toasted bourbons, wheated bourbons, four grain bourbons, toasted ryes, double oaked ryes, Nulu uncut cask strengths, and single barrel ryes in general. But I'm pretty sure most single barrels are cask strength. I haven't heard of any from Nulu that aren't cask strength, except for maybe their core range, but I don't know.
I have never seen a Nulu pick that was not cask strength.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. with as many as I've seen, I would be surprised to hear that there were any.
Totally. I saw something on their website that said that only about 5-8% of their barrels are worthy of single barrel releases, which I was like, what are they? I mean, they must be putting on a lot of standard, you know, consistency stuff, but they have to be very special, they say, for their single barrel piece or picks, or even just single barrels that they do. Named so Nulu. What's that?
That's so weird. I can't imagine. What are they doing with 94% of their stock? Like,
mm-hmm. Anyway, named Nulu because of the neighborhood of Louisville, the distillery is at, which is referred to as New Louisville or short Nulu. So we're drinking the Our Bourbon pick. They've probably done a few picks, I imagine, Our Bourbon for single barrel rise, maybe.
And but this one, many, many different finishes, too. Yeah.
Oh, I believe it. This specific one is R211. That's the barrel number. The proof is 114.8. 6.5 years old, and I've had some good rise from this one. Only one weird one. Looking forward to this. Brian, do you know the price you paid for this one?
Oh no, no, I don't. But it was very reasonable. Like, it was probably like $70 bucks or something, something right around there. You mentioned this was an Our Bourbon pick. You mentioned they've probably done others, and the interesting thing about this one was they. Well, so I say they, but I mean Take, the guy who runs it all.
Uh-huh.
He purchased 4 barrels at the same time. And and so this was dumped while the others went and got put in finishing barrels.
Oh, interesting.
So from this same lot, he wanted to do a series of 4 different bottlings where one was unfinished and then one was finished in something else and one was something else and one was something else so that you could kind of like have all
like a progression. Several
different, yeah, from the same lot, but finished in different ways. And I will pop this cork now.
Pop it. Look at that color. For a 6.5 year, that's a good color right there. It's got some candy notes on the nose. A little bit alcohol forward, but still good. You can get a little bit of that. Yeah, like hard candy rye. I love the smell. It's not color. Like 100% candy forward, but it's there. It is a little, to be honest, it's a little alcohol forward to me. Like
smell. It's actually less alcohol forward than I was expecting. And I get some depth here. Like,
that's good.
Oh, you sipped already. Dang, we're cruising today.
That's good. Oh, wow. It's only 24 minutes in.
Shorty episode.
It don't hurt.
Yeah, last one was the longest episode we've ever done, right?
Yeah, surely. You got to make up for it.
Maybe we'll try to make this be the shortest episode we've ever done.
So I was thinking about it. You could listen to our podcast for almost, or probably around 3 days straight. No. Not 3 days straight. 13 days straight. 13 days straight of our podcast without stopping. That's great.
That is... honestly, if I had to guess, I would have guessed longer than that. man, Oh man, I'm getting some licorice on the finish on this.
I got a little bit of anise.
Yeah. But like there's plenty of hard candy here. There's some funky funk going on here. And I specifically remember I did a little blind for myself one night where I had all MGP rye, which by the way, this is an MGP rye.
I imagine
right?
so. Yeah. I didn't hear anything about it, but imagine so. Yeah.
I did all MGP rye that were all around the same proof and all around the same age. And this Nulu rye won by a mile. And
really?
Because it had this funkiness going on with it that I'm getting now that I'm specifically saying.
Yeah, we want the funk.
Give us the funk. Anise. Yeah, I'm definitely getting anise here. But the anise comes well into the finish. So I guess to start off, it's definitely hard candy. I was still remembering the candy necklace note from Cole on the previous episode.
It was right. Just right. Yeah.
And then it just like, it starts shallow and sweet. And then the depth just like it drags down consistently and slowly into the finish until you end up at this like low register tobacco-y anise stuff going on, which is not too common for rye.
I'm getting the hard candy up front on the palate. Love it. But it's not like a fruity hard candy. It's more of like a caramel hard candy. But not in like a chewy caramel bourbon-y way. Like it's definitely a rye. Very sharply sweet. Very sweet in general. It does. It's got some funk, but it's not like prominent to me.
The hard candy is just so good here.
Yeah.
And
it can't go wrong.
Traditional MGP hard candy.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you got hard candy, like, it reminds me of Del Box Sentinel, their first batch.
Yeah.
Where it was like, it was young ish, but it had really good hard candy notes. And I was like, I just can't give this a bad score. Not that I would. It's Del Box. And like, but it was like, it had this.
Whoa, wait. We're always not biased on our reviews.
Oh, totally. But like, that's what, like, I think you get what I'm saying. It's like,
they
always put out good stuff.
Yeah.
But it was hard candy up front. I actually didn't, I don't think I gave their Sentinel Batch 2 a great review. Because Mark had later told us they use this a younger barrel. And I'm like, you got to age that rye a little longer.
I think he agreed as well.
Yeah. And but this was like even Sentinel Batch 1 was like candy rye, and I'm like, I can't not give candy rye like a great review because I love candy rye,
right? And the assurance that comes with the Del Boc name that they genuinely put craft into it, you can be assured.
Exactly.
Second sip, third sip on the Nulu here. I mean, the ABV caught up with it here. I am getting a lot of, not a lot. I'm getting a decent amount of youthy ABV burn here that detracts from the flavor a bit and actually makes me really curious about water. So I'm going to go ahead and put water now.
Just added water myself. A little bit sweeter on the nose. Yeah, I'd say it's much more candy on the nose than the neat pour with a few drops. It's great. Great stuff. This reminds me of,
while you sip, the nose, just like great rye, grassy, rye grassy on the nose.
I prefer the water pour. This is great. This is almost the fruity's coming out a little bit with this guy.
I still get plenty of that anise though.
Ooh, that's good. You know, it's got anise. Have you ever had Alberta Premium Craft or Alberta Premium Barrel Proof or whatever?
Cask Strength.
Cask Strength, that's what it is, yeah.
Yeah,
same
definitely.
Thing.
Way different. I've finished a bottle of Alberta, and then I have a different batch now, too, that I just opened not too long ago.
I got one that I still haven't opened.
Different batches?
Yeah, I got one that's open, one that's not open. Yeah, different batches.
Do you know? Yeah, different proofs. Yeah, mm-hmm. to signify different batches. Nice. Yeah.
This is great.
I know. It definitely just rye lovers rye. I could see, mm-hmm. you know, maybe this isn't as easygoing as I would give somebody who didn't know anything about rye. But yeah. If somebody's like,
I agree with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I like rye. I want a little rye spice in here. You're going to get some rye spice with a ton nice. Of candy.
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. a very unique finish that I totally. Keep saying the word anise. I'll try to stop, but that's just, I love it so much.
I'm not getting anise.
I know. Yeah. The fact that I keep saying it and you haven't said anything, I'm like, he's not getting it, but man, this, I'll take a hard stance on this.
I like you. I like you having a hard stance on that.
It comes out on the ice. Don't worry. It'll come out on the okay. ice. You'll get
Have you had the ice yet?
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, we'll no find out. Boom. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to give it the old spin J, making this whiskey mighty dizzy. Shout out to Willow. You got to get familiar with Willow, Brian.
Only time I've ever seen her was on that drink along where
she's yeah. amazing. She can draw. She can swim. Wait, what was her? I think she's a swimmer. What?
Hey, I didn't hear the L come out very hard on that draw.
Oh, she can draw. Oh, she can draw. No, it's I can say draw, but it's a little hard to say draw. But drawing, like I can't say drawing. It's
yeah.
weird. What was it? Grandma was telling me she had a sport. Dancing? No. Oh, I forget. But it's not a no one's business, I'm sure. But maybe it was swimming. I think it might have been swimming. But anyway, nice. Willow is amazing. And she's so smiley. And I wish her the best in everything. Like, it's like I feel like, you know when, okay, so you're not a dad. But like when you're a dad, especially to a girl, like you, like Dramhow knows. You just want the best for them. Like you just like, it's like nothing else. Like you just want, like pain is okay. Like you don't want them to deal with pain, but you're like, but I want them to have the best opportunities in life. And I want them to like feel happy. And I want them to enjoy, you know, life in general. And it's like, you think about it. And it's just weird as a dad, because you're like, I see them maybe slightly suffering in this moment, but I think this could be a great opportunity for them.
Yeah.
And you see them like, and even with that opportunity, you're like, you know, like slight suffering for anyone is like unpleasant. You know, you're like, but you might grow better. You might grow to be enjoy life more because of that suffering.
Yeah.
And it's like, you look at your kid and you're like, I want everything great for you, but I don't want you to be pain-free, because pain-free means that one day you'll get hit with pain and you won't be able to handle it.
Definitely.
It's a weird thing. Being a father is a weird thing, but like, it's amazing. And I look at my daughters and I'm like, I just want the best for you. So that all to be said, Willow's amazing and I want the best for her, and I'm not even her dad. So yeah. Shout out to Dramhound and Willow.
I'm sure I'm sure boy dads feel the same way.
Yeah.
And I'm sure
Shout out to moms Bryce Marita. Feel the
same way. And I'm sure yeah. girl
and
moms.
Miles feel Ferguson's the same way. Got a boy. And
yeah.
some other people have boys. But I feel like most of our listeners
I know.
Are girl dads. Yeah.
How weird is that? You know, okay, wait. I'm not sure I've ever mentioned this before. So, and my ice is melting here, but I'm trying to memorize my notes here. But no, this is important. So in the field of RF, in the so I'm an RF engineer, radio frequency. Yeah.
I know a guy who works at your company that works in RF. That's funny.
Oh yeah.
Besides Brandon.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah. And I think you mentioned a while back, and I was like, no,
never. Heard
of
him, never heard of
him. But RF guys who deal with, you know, transmitted antennas, wireless stuff. Yeah. Tend to have way more daughters than
and that sons. Guy who I was talking to, he has three daughters and no boys.
Yeah. Not surprised in the That's slightest.
Crazy. There must be the frequencies going through your X and Y chromosomes, if you know what I mean.
That is absolutely what the
killing
joke
all
is.
Those X chromosomes and putting out killing all the Y chromosomes, putting out only X's, baby.
That's one of those things I can never remember which one, XX or XY. I can never remember.
XX is girl. And I know this because apparently if you have a genetic mutation and you can be an XXX and you're basically a boy, which is weird.
Whoa, I've never heard of that.
Like you deal with like chromosomal, you know, genetic issues if
you're
a triple X.
Literally never heard of that.
So what always makes me remember is there are X-linked traits. Which are color blindness, hemophilia. It's gotta be a few more. Baldness, male pattern baldness. Anyone can deal with, but you need both chromosomes to have the same genetic whatever. So that's why most women don't deal with male pattern baldness, but some do, and color blindness is much more prevalent in men. Because the X chromosome carries that gene, and then you have to have both chromosomes carry that gene. So if you're an XY, a male, and you have your mother had one of her X chromosomes that was color blindness, for example, and your dad gave you a Y, it's going to go with a Y. But if both your parents made, you know, you're a girl and you have two X chromosomes, then it'll go with the dominant gene, which is likely not the color blindness or hemophilia or whatever gene. Lessons with Cole this week.
Love it.
And so that's cool. Why some women actually deal with baldness, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
But that's why men deal with baldness much more.
Interesting.
It's an X-linked trait.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I work with a guy who's big into RF, and he he does ham radio stuff. He's big into RF. He has five daughters, zero sons.
That's great. No, yeah. Shout out to Randy Janka.
That's right. Yeah.
Who is my is a good friend and a mentor. He actually officiated our wedding, Heather and my wedding.
Cool. Nice.
He's got three girls and they're amazing. And I was like, looking at his family when I was younger in like high school and stuff like that, I was like, I want to be like Randy.
Nice.
And so far I'm batting 1,000, and we're stopping here for the record. Unless we have a blessing, we are stopping at two girls so I can keep my record. So
nice. Perfect. And I'm not just saying that about the RF engineers and being girl dads, like from my own tiny little circle that I live in, like it's definitely a wider thing. It's definitely
to talk about our recent listener gender, our recent birth announcement gender?
Oh yeah, you're talking about Katie and Curtis.
Yeah, they had a boy. We were not going to mention their name, but they had a boy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Shout out to boy dads and boy moms, Katie. Oh, so anyway.
Yeah. Curtis is not an RF engineer, so that allowed
That's
him.
That's probably what happened. Does he work with you?
You know, maybe in a future episode, I'll give a Curtis update.
Yeah, nice.
Maybe,
nice.
Maybe.
Yeah. Since not
my
accident,
not my place not update. Not my place right now, not my place. I've
when
learned
you said, like update, I was like wait is there like an accident or something, but anyway, shout out to Curtis and Katie. We love
I have
you guys.
Finished my ice pour completely.
Me too, and I enjoyed it. I think I liked water a little more,
so I actually might have liked ice a little more,
which is hard to do in a rye,
right? I will say that my anise turned away and it turned into peppery with ice. Definitely not heavily peppery, just a very light, easy pepper. But the sweetness that would have accompanied that to turn it into like a black licorice flavor, the sweetness went away. So all I was getting was kind of like a bitter pepperiness. And again, that's only on the finish. It still had plenty of like rye candy notes, and someone's at the front door. If you all heard that, thank you very much.
I didn't,
but it definitely had plenty of the candy notes and sweetness and a little bit of only just a little bit of rye spice, actually. Nice. So I think I am neat ice water.
Okay. Here's my way. Oh, wait. So I'll talk about the notes I got on the water or the ice pour. Still great. Still fantastic, in fact. Candy notes, hard candy notes. Not as much fruity as I got from the water pour, but still a little bit fruity. Impressively delicious with ice. Almost like Irish whiskey good with ice. Really good, but not as good as water. So I'm going to actually say water, neat, ice. Still all amazing. Very impressive that they pulled off all three.
Yeah.
Hard to do with American whiskey, for the record. I am going to go towards my rating on this one. I'm going to give this a 9.0. It is barely hub it a what, but it is hub it a what. This is really good. I love hard candy, but nothing is like pushing in a direction outside of just hub it a what. It is good. It is hard candy. I love hard candy, but there's nothing else that's like bursting through. That being said, 9.0 is a killer rating. So that's what I'm going to go with here.
I feel like you took the words right out of my mouth. Nice. I was 9.0. I want to be above the hub it a what's level, the 9.0. I do think it is impressive because of that finish. It takes me on. It takes me to places that rye don't normally take me. The finish turns away from candy sweet. The finish doesn't turn into something a rye traditionally would. The finish turns darker, deeper into what I kept picking up on was anise. That like it is unique and it is delicious and there's nothing at all off-putting about it. So I'm gonna give it an A on the letter grade scale.
Very good.
It's extremely really solid. It's well-rounded. No substantial comment can be made. So I think
100%
easily A territory.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. A almost A plus, but
almost A plus. Again, I'm with you. Almost A plus, but like A. It is so solidly an A. I feel very comfortable giving it.
Totally.
An A.
All right. Now that we've covered rating, I think it's time for our next segment of the show. That we call, and we like to call it, Whiskey World News.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Whiskey World News, where we read an article that we did not write. We are just going to read it. And today's article comes from, oh no, where does it come from?
It comes from
Whiskey Advocate. Yes, that's right. Nice. Going off memory here. Somehow
they got a magazine.
Yeah, they do. This was stolen from their online source from Whiskey Advocate, and it was written by Sean Evans. And Sean Evans today wants to write about
Sean Evans, as in the Hot Ones, Sean Evans.
Oh my gosh, his name. I forgot about that. That's funny. Today's article has nothing to do with hot wings. The article title is Abraham Bowman's New French Oak is an Incredible Caramel Bomb.
Yo.
I'm not going to get into the tasting notes here. I don't want to share somebody else's tasting notes. That's just weird.
We
might
review this. Actually, in fact, we reached out to Sazerac and they were like, we don't got this, but what else you need? I'm like, yeah, we can use a few things. So
yeah. So we're all ears on that, but I'm going to read you a little bit of information about the Abraham Bowman's new French oak. So distillers at A. Smith Bowman, a Sazerac owned facility in Virginia, are experimenting with a limited release series of oak matured whiskeys that will only be available by entering a lottery. Yep. Winners will have to pick up the bottle in person at the Virginia distillery.
Fredericksburg, baby.
The Abraham Bowman Oak Series is a new program from the A. Smith Bowman Distillery, one that aims at moving the boundaries on American whiskey maturation and methodologies. The Oak Series nests under the umbrella of Abraham Bowman Limited Edition Collection Whiskies, which began in 2010 with an Abraham Bowman rye release. Did you know that, Cole?
Yeah.
Oh, did you get to try it?
No, heck no. Yeah, I am. Okay, no, I only got into whiskey in 2015.
Subsequent
much longer release. Than some people.
Yeah, like me.
But you're way older than me. So. Not way older. You're like two or three.
What? Years.
Yeah.
Watch your tongue, young man.
Young man.
Subsequent releases from the Abraham Bowman collection feature experimentation with mash bills, maturation techniques, proof points, secondary finishes, and more. Specifically, yeah. The Oak series dives into using a variety of oak casks during the cask maturation. As well as varying the levels of char within those casks. This 2024 inaugural release, Abraham Bowman French Oak, uses an undisclosed mash bill that's matured in a series of French oak barrels with and without char for 12 years. French oak is teaching us that experimenting with wood can bring some exciting nuances to the flavor profile of a distillate, said A. Smith Bowman head distiller David Bach in a written statement. These barrels sat for an extended period of time to maximize the differences among them. Once blended together, the vanilla from the no char barrels helps balance out the pepper notes from the charred barrels, creating a dynamic and delicious blend. So some stats on this real quick. The Abraham Bowman French Oak Whiskey at a glance is aged 12 years. It is bottled at 50% ABV. It's in a French oak cask with some char, some with char, some without. The suggested retail price is $99, and there are 2,000 bottles available. Again, you have to enter a lottery to get into this, and you have to pick it up yourself at the distillery, and there are 2,000 bottles available.
2,000?
Cole, you entered, correct?
Heck, well, it's not open yet.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's going to be open soon. Good. Okay, so I have thoughts on this. So there's a lot of thoughts on this. So we did the first inaugural A. Smith Bowman release where we had Brian Pruitt, the prior master distiller of A. Smith Bowman on the podcast. It was a great episode.
Cool.
It was only audio version, but it was good. So I'll say this. Is that they haven't done an Abraham Bowman in a few years, I think. And I think that might have coincided with the transition to the other... what's his
Sazerac.
Name? Yeah, well, so Brian Pruitt apparently moved up to like a general Sazerac master distiller. He no longer works specifically for just A. Smith Bowman. David Bach has been there since probably about 2020, 2021-ish. But that being said, Abraham Bowman's are amazing. Like I told Brian the other day, Brian Rapp, not Brian Pruitt, in case anyone's wondering. I told Brian Rapp, I was like, dude, Sweet 16 was like above BTAC status. So good. Like it would be like if George T. Stagg was one of the best years it ever had. Like I would say this rivals like 2016 George T. Stagg was Sweet 16. It was incredible.
So explain what you mean by Sweet 16.
So yeah, it's one of the releases. So yeah, they used to do like special releases. Like there was a sequential fill Abraham Bowman, which was like a specific one. There was a gingerbread cask Abraham Bowman. There was the Sweet 16. Sweet 16 was a cask strength 16-year-old. Basically, like I think it was a mash bill number one, but the A. Smith Bowman basically does an extra distillation process Sazerac, or rather Buffalo Trace product.
Yeah.
And dude, Abraham Bowman's are like crazy.
Always go all out.
Always. Even their gingerbread cask finish was phenomenal.
What the heck is a gingerbread cask?
It basically, I don't even know, man, but like it had a, they basically finished it in something that was gingery. and it was delicious. Amazing. And everything that Abraham Bowman product was amazing. But then they started doing A. Smith Bowman cast strengths, and they were good too. Like, fantastic, incredible products. But the problem was, is like, I don't think they've done a Abraham Bowman in a while. And it might have been because of this transition to David Bach as the head distiller. But I am a little worried. Not worried. I just am not sure that the Abraham Bowman release is going to be as good as the others. It's a 10-year, which is great. Don't get me wrong. 10 years is a lot of years for a bourbon. But it's a French oak finish. And it's just like, is it a 13-year?
12-year,
my bad. Okay, so that's not so bad. But like, French oak is weird with bourbon, in my opinion. That's just my opinion. Just my humble opinion. But I think that it, I don't know. Maybe it's going to be amazing. Maybe it'll keep up with the other Abraham Bowman releases.
Yeah.
But something's telling me this one's a little different.
So my opinion on French Oak, mm-hmm. I don't know if I just got burnt out on it because I was buying too much Maker's Mark or what, but mm-hmm. like, there was a period of time where I was out on French Oak. I was like, I don't like French Oak at all anymore.
Same. Normally adult.
I've come way back where like I appreciate it way more now. There's some rare character that I've got that's a French Oak finished rye.
So French.
Yeah, that like, and it's, there's so much more I pick up on the nose than the palate with French Oak.
Uh-huh.
I just don't have words for it at this moment, but like, my appreciation for French Oak has totally come back where like, I'm in, I want to know what it's like. I'm excited about it.
Did you know that for legal purposes, you could literally use charred French Oak for a bourbon? Because it does not require it to be oak. American oak for bourbon or, you know,
semantics to the max. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I learned that actually from Freddie Johnson himself.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He said, it's just French oak, or it says oak, charred oak containers, newly charred oak containers.
Container. Yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I would love to try it. Sazerac did not give us the go ahead. They said they've already given all the samples they can, which is a fun answer. But I am very intrigued, and I will be signing up for their lottery, especially because I live in Virginia. We'll see how it goes.
Perfect.
Yeah. So any thoughts yourself besides what you already said?
I have limited experience with A. Smith Bowman, Abraham Bowman, John J.
I gotta get you a sample. The only time I really had Sweet 16 was I went to the bar I used to work at, and Floyd was there.
Hey,
shout out to Floyd.
Yeah,
Floyd, I used to work with when I used to work there, and I was like, Floyd, I don't need a full pour. I just need to try the Sweet 16. He gave it to me. Like I said, like, BTAC and then some. So good.
Dang.
So good.
That is impressive. Yeah, is it the BTAC-ery going on here? Is it big, bold, full-bodied, hot experience? No, it's the flavor. Like George T. Stagg?
It's the flavor.
So like, is it more sweet, delicate, stewed fruits like a William Lure
Weller? Definitely gave me vibes of Nashville Number One.
Okay.
But let me look at the proof on it real quick. A. Smith, Abraham.
I can never keep track of the mash bills, man. So mash bill number one is what? Like the Stag?
Mash bill number one is the light, is Stag and Eagle Rare and all that.
So it is the lower rise. The Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Bland's is the higher rye. So it was a 2018 release. I got two bottles of it. And I traded them, and I regret trading both of them.
The Sweet 16?
Yeah. And it was so good. 90 proof. That's no, I'm sorry. They had four entry proofs of the whole batch. One was 125, 114, 105, and 90 proof. Barrel entry proof.
Yeah. I love that kind of science.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then overall, it was only 116 proof. but it was good.
That's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, Abraham Bowman's are like, do not discount how good they could be. But that's we'll see awesome. How this French Oak one's go. We'll see some reviews online.
Nice. Sounds great. Right. So we'll now slide into.
Go ahead.
Yeah, slide into Whiskey World. What whiskey would you choose? We're going to talk about what whiskey would you choose. So with all of the craziness of Nick Taylor and the awesome interview episode that we did last time, I did not post to Instagram, what whiskey would you choose? So let's just reiterate that now. We're going to redo that. I'm going to do that this week. The question is, we're doing this out of order this time, is what is the oldest whiskey you've ever tried and was it worth the price? Keep an eye out for that question coming out on Instagram later this week. My answer, at least, was Alexander Murray & Co. Glen Grant 23-year, which I got as a patron on Patreon.
From this very podcast.
Cole, what was your oldest whiskey you've ever had?
Whoop and Holler, which is a Orphan Barrel release, which is a 28-year-old bourbon. I'm sorry, a 28-year-old whiskey.
And it was what proof? Do you remember?
It was like 90 proof.
Yeah, it's like crazy. 90 or 80.
Yeah, that's how Orphan Barrel does it. It's like
true.
Yeah, let me double check the proof on this one. Man, yeah, it's probably like 90 or so.
Insanely old. I bet it was 84
proof, even less. Yeah.
Wow. I bet it was so flavorful for 84, though. Man,
it was over oaked from my
record. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Coming from the guy who hates over oaked in general. Yeah.
So, did you know that like Buffalo Trace tried a 28-year-old whiskey one time?
No.
And they said it vinegarized in the barrel.
I believe
it became vinegar because
that's crazy. Yeah. And that's how you make vinegar.
actually, I could do a whole Cole's science episode on how you make vinegar, but I'm not going to go into it now. Vinegar is so cool, though.
All right. I'll write that down real quick as like a side, like when we start our next YouTube series.
Yeah, it'll just be Cole, start it up. Cole science with Cole. Yeah, we're going to talk about acetic acid and stuff like that.
Perfect.
So.
Perfect. Yeah. So for write-ins, though, I do want to pay some homage. Some homage to some of our Instagram guys who reach out to us. We appreciate it so much. So, extra special shout out. We were asking you guys, what questions would you like to ask Nick Taylor for the previous episode here? We got some write-ins from Nate AP27. Coach Garwood, he wrote in. The Harmony guy wrote in. Madtown marketer Ben Klepsig wrote in. We love you guys so much. Thank you for contributing.
And John Hughes wrote in.
John Hughes, thank you so much for helping us out, coming up with some great questions for Nick Taylor last episode. And then a couple weeks ago, just kind of random shout out, it was National Cocktail Day. So I said, hey guys, what are you drinking? It's National Cocktail Day. I had an old fashioned, of course. Marco in AZ wrote in. He said he was drinking a Manhattan. Very classy. Very classy. Like Madtown marketer classy. Ben Klepsig says whiskey sour. Delicious.
Also classy.
And Broaska Testuasa just says blends. He is National Cocktail Day, but he was drinking some blends. So
he doesn't get that easily, but when he does,
so
he gets it.
Special occasion. So Cole, tell us, what are we drinking next week?
So we're between two. We are between Russell's 13 Batch 5, a rye bourbon, a delicious one. I haven't tried it yet, but I've had their batch one or two or whatever. And then we're putting that against William LaRue Weller 2023. Gonna be killer. Either way, it's gonna be a banger. I'll tell you that. So vote next Tuesday, this Tuesday, tomorrow, when this episode comes out. and you won't be let down. It's gonna be a banger. Like, I love Russell's Reserve 13. Had some good ones. But William LaRue friggin' Weller, we'll see. We'll see who wins. I can see it going either way, but I think it might lean a little bit towards the Weller. But we'll find out.
Well, I hope that people are listening to this right as the eclipse is going on right now. It's Monday, right? It's Monday.
Yeah, this comes on Monday. Yeah, the 8th. And I hope that people vote with their heart.
And I hope that we have the ability to maybe do a Found North single barrel pick coming up sometime soon.
Hey-o! Maybe. A little slip that one in. And then most of all, listeners, I hope that I beat Brian in the reentry buzz after this. But most of all, listeners, I hope that our love of whiskey lifted your spirits. Drink your water.
Practice your faces.
All right. Keep your secrets, as